You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Welcome to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. My name is Noah Oldham, and I'm here with Vance Pittman. How are you, Vance?
Noah, I'm doing great, man. As always, it is awesome to be able to hang out here on the podcast. I really enjoy getting to do these with you. And today's a little bit unique. A lot of times we have a guest.
That's right.
And today there is no guest. It's you and me. We are the guest, the host, the whole enchilada. So here we are today.
Well, Vance, today I thought it'd be really great for us to talk about prayer and church planting. I'm really excited about this because from what I've experienced throughout the years, so many church planters, they get started on the wrong foot when it comes to prayer, and they never seem to recover. Here's what I mean. When planters go out and they put their prospectus together and they send it out to potential partners and churches, they often include a mechanism like a response card, and it gives three options. You can pray, you can give, or you can go. And what they're hoping is that people are going to give money or they're going to go and be part of the launch team, but they want to feel spiritual. So they put prayer on there. And when people fill that out, it feels like a loss to them. And they never really fully develop a prayer team. And what I'm afraid is happening is that prayer becomes the option that we give people just to sound spiritual, but we don't really embrace it and we never do. Have you seen that as well?
Without a doubt. We had recently on the podcast a good friend of mine, Daniel Henderson, and Daniel says it this way. He said, prayerlessness is our declaration of independence from God.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the church in North America, that's pretty much the status of where we live. We live with this spirit of independence. We've got everything. We have seminary degrees and programs and staffs and budgets and resources and buildings and strategies and demographics and analytics. And we have all of, we got planning center. We have so much today that we can do church for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, whether God ever shows up or not. Yeah. And we've just reached this place of independence from God. We can do the ministry with or without the power of the Holy Spirit, the move of God in and through our lives. And nowhere is that more evident than in this thing of prayer in the local New Testament church. I mean, think about prayer in the life of just our gatherings. I like to say it this way. We have today relegated corporate prayer to moments of transition when we move the band on and off the stage.
Yeah.
We don't pray to pray anymore. Yeah. We just pray to change the set while nobody's looking, you know? And I'm not saying it's wrong to move stuff around while we pray. It's just wrong to pray just to move stuff around. Like I've heard in conversations before, well, we need to move the pulpit out, or we need to roll the TV screen on. What do? Well, let's get everybody to pray. Let's close their eyes so we can do stuff. When in reality, prayer should be the centerpiece of what we're doing. Prayer and the Word of God should be what we're about.
Yeah, I've seen that so many times in church planting. You're trying to put on a good show. You're trying to impress people who you want to come to your church from another church. You're trying to get lost people to think that you're relevant and not feel too weird or icky. And what we end up doing is the thing we set out to do is to plant the church and bring glory to God and make disciples of His, and we end up making it something else altogether. And without even wanting to, it moves from this place of Jesus, which you expand your kingdom into this territory. It turns from that into my show and protecting it from the one thing that we need more than anything, time spent with the Father.
So true, Noah. And if you think about what Jesus said in the Gospels, Jesus said, my house shall be called. And as soon as I start saying that, our listeners, church planters, they can quote the verse, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations. Here's the part I think we miss. Shall be called. Here's what that means. When the people in your city and your community think about your church, here's what Jesus said I want them to think about. Not well, man, that church is a house of preaching, or that church is a house of relevant ministry, or that church is a place where kids are loved and cared for, or that place is a place that speaks the truth, or that place is a place that engages the community. No, Jesus said, when the lost world, when the city thinks mm-hmm. about you as a people, here's what they ought to say. I don't know everything about those people, but I know this. They talk to God over there. Mm-hmm. Those people talk to the Father. When I need to meet God, when I need to talk to God, I need to go over there with those people, because those people talk to the Father. Jesus said, my house, it shall be called a house of prayer, of communication with the Father.
Mm. So I think what I'd love to do today and the rest of this podcast, Vance, is just remind our listeners. We have people that are all kinds of places when it comes to the church planting process. Remind them the importance of prayer at every level of church planting, so that they can go back and they can listen to the episode with Daniel Henderson about building a culture of prayer. But maybe we could compel them forward just a little bit by speaking to each season of the importance of prayer. And so I would love for you to talk, just beginning, what the importance of prayer in the calling season.
Yeah, for me personally, this is a very important piece of the story, because I didn't make a decision one day to go and plant a church. One morning, I was with the Lord in my own personal time with Him, in the Word and in prayer, just in conversation with the Father. I was in Luke chapter 4, reading a verse of Scripture where Jesus said, I must preach the kingdom to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. And I began to see some stuff in Jesus that wasn't in me. Jesus, in the context of that very passage of Scripture, had walked away from ministry to go be alone and spend time praying with the Father. And I began to see some stuff in Jesus that wasn't in me. And just in conversation with the Father, in prayer and repentance and surrender, mm-hmm. I put a yes on the table to the Lord, went and got my wife. We put our yes together on the table. We didn't know we were going to go plant a church. I'd never even heard the term church planting. I'm just being honest. I'd never been a part of a church that had planted a church. We just said, Lord, yes to joining in your activity in other cities for the expansion of the of your kingdom. And a few weeks later, the blank got filled in. I got reached out to by a church in Georgia that said, we feel led of the Lord to start a new church in Las Vegas. God's put it on our heart. You're to be the pastor of that church.
Wow.
But we didn't know any of that. We just, in prayer, God, what was on the Father's heart got on my heart and my wife's heart in prayer. And that's what prayer does. Prayer moves what's on the heart of the Father onto my heart. One of the reasons I believe Jesus's ministry was dominated by prayer with the Father is because Jesus wanted the heart of the Father to be His heart. And so He just constantly lived in communion with the Father. And so in the calling, this thing of prayer is essential, because what we're really talking about is hearing from God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's what church planting is. It's a journey of faith. Having heard from God, we step out in faith.
That's so good. Yeah, that season was profound for me. And the next season was as well. This season I'm calling the team gathering season. So I had the call from God. He placed it on me. I too didn't know the phrase church planting. I asked my father-in-law, who's a Southern Baptist pastor. I told him all that God was telling me to do. He says, that's called church planting. I'm like, oh, what? You can do that? And I reached out to a mentor that I knew who had planted a church a couple years before. A guy discipled me in college. And here's what he told me to do. You're in this phase of developing your team, givers and vision and all of that. And he said, get alone. Just you and the Lord and your Bible. No one else. No technology. Just get alone all day long. And I did. I listened to him. I just prayed for about 8 to 10 hours straight, just before the Lord, worshiping. And I came out of that event that day with about 6 pages of handwritten notes of not only the strategy, but some of the people God wanted me approach to be a part of the team or to give. That wouldn't have come through my best efforts of thinking through it. I couldn't have strategized those people or those plans. It had to be downloaded from the Lord. So I always encourage planters, hey, all I know that works is prayer during that season. Get some time away, pray.
Well, and let me add this, knowing the team gathering season of church planting, let's go back again to the life of Jesus. Before Jesus chose his original 12 disciples, which, if you want to think about it this way, his core team of what was going to become the nucleus of the church, the first church in Jerusalem, the OG church plant. Mm-hmm. Before Jesus chose his first 12 disciples, you know what he did? Yeah. He stayed awake all night and he prayed. There's a leadership development strategy. You don't talk leadership pipeline? Here's a pretty good one. Just pray all night before you pick them. That's what Jesus did. Yeah. And I think one of the reasons we make mistakes in church planting is we start using the Old Testament example when the prophet was trying to find the king, and he went through all of Jesse's sons, looking at the strongest, the bravest, the fastest, the smartest, the most creative, the most eloquent. And all the while, God had a guy on his mind and heart who didn't meet any of the qualifications that they thought was what was necessary for the king. And I'm always going to choose Eliab if I'm not before the Father in prayer thinking about the Davids, because I got to see people the way he sees them. And in order to get there, it's got to be in prayer. So selecting the team and putting that together, you want that to be the work of the Father born out of prayer. And then secondly, a key part of the team gathering process is building that prayer team. When we planted our church in Las Vegas, we knew that we were stepping into spiritual warfare. Las Vegas is known all over the world as Sin City. It's a city that the enemy had staked out for himself and built a kingdom unto himself. And we knew we were trying to come in and take back dark territory. And that was not going to be done easily. These kind, the scripture said, don't come out but by prayer and fasting. So I kind of took the Gideon's army strategy, and we recruited 300 people who would pray for us every week for the first 2 years of our church plant.
Wow.
We had them sign cards, 300 people who would pray for 52 weeks for 2 years. And every week, I sat down and emailed a prayer update where I gave specific prayer requests. Every week, I sent them the name and family names of new neighbors in my neighborhood that I'd met that I wanted them to pray for specifically. And so I just sent out this real cheesy Las Vegas prayer update, gave them specific things. And for and listen, we've seen God do a lot of unbelievable stuff in Las Vegas. Only heaven will reveal how much of it is because 300 people every week for 2 years besieged the throne of God on behalf of the city of Las Vegas, and God moved in response to those prayers. So it's a significant part of the team gathering season.
Man, that's so good. It absolutely is. And I remember right after the team gathering season, we moved into what we called pre-launch season. I love how you explain this upside down missiology we have in North America. Instead of planting a church and then engaging or making disciples and then engaging the city with the gospel, we begin by engaging the city with the gospel. And by God's grace, that's what we were led to do through prayer. And that's how we did it, was through prayer. We would prayer walk the city and the neighborhoods. If people didn't feel comfortable in certain neighborhoods, we said, prayer drive that thing and do it during the daytime. But we gotta bathe this thing in prayer. And it was amazing, Vance, to see in that season, as we were pre-launch, the doors that opened up, all of a sudden the local realtor comes out and the business owner and the arts council, we're meeting people of peace through the prayer activity that God led us to. Prayer opened doors that we never could have opened on our own.
Yeah, Noah, before I was, I guess, smart enough to say it the way we say it now about engaging cities with the gospel, making disciples and planting it, letting God birth his church. When we first moved to Vegas, I mean, we were all from the Bible Belt, from the South, from agricultural communities. Here's the language I used back then, that first we had to cultivate the field with prayer, then sow the seed of the gospel, and then trust the Lord for a harvest. And this pre-launch season is that season when you are cultivating the field with prayer. If we really believe that what we're engaging in is the spiritual work of God, then there has to be the tilling up of the soil before we can sow the seed of the gospel. And what you just described is the same way we did it in Vegas. We prayer walked. We actually took the map of Las Vegas and we marked out 50,000 households that surrounded a pinpoint that we placed. It took us 5 months, but we prayer walked 50,000 households, meaning we prayed over every home and we prayed two things. God, would you open their hearts to the gospel? And then secondly, would you raise up laborers for the harvest? We taught our people, when you see for sale signs, ask God to move people in there who can be missionaries in the city that can join in his work of expanding his kingdom here. And then we went back and we prayer surveyed those neighborhoods. You say, what does that mean? We'd go back to those same neighborhoods, the ones that would allow us. We'd go door to door and we'd just knock on the door and say, hey, we're praying in your neighborhood today. Is there anything we can pray for you about? And some people would slam the door in our face. Some people would say, I'm good. Other people would say, my cousin's having surgery next week. And so we would pray for them right there. Then we'd walk to the end of the driveway. And while we were, before we left the house, we'd write a quick note of the address and that prayer request. That evening, we would send a handwritten note back to them saying, our team prayed again this evening for your cousin who's having surgery in Milwaukee next week. So they got a handwritten note knowing that they had been prayed over. And then we took it another step. We went to the four corners of Las Vegas. We drove a stake down in the four corners of Las Vegas and claimed our city back for the glory and honor of God. We had teams at the four corners of the city saying, God, this city belongs to you. It was made for your glory. It was made for your work to be done here and to be a light for the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we claimed, we took that territory back by faith for the glory and honor of God. So all that's pre-launch where you're just, we even did one more thing, and this is I'll show my age. we got three churches to get the Las Vegas, here we go, phone book. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
The young guys don't even know what a phone book is. But it was back in the old days, they had this book that had the names and addresses of every person in your city with phone numbers. And we had them pray through the whole Las Vegas phone book, those same two requests. God, would you open their hearts to the gospel, and would you raise up laborers for the harvest? So if you lived in Las Vegas in the year 2000, 2001, every person in the phone book was prayed over by name three times by three different churches, just cultivating the field for the saturation of the gospel.
Man, that's so good. And we will never know the fullness of what God did through all those prayers. Oh my gosh.
But listen, every time I tell that story, Noah, before I transitioned out of pastoring last year, about once a year, I'd kind of tell the story of the prayer journey of our church woven into some sermon. And I would have some family walk up to me at the guest center and say, Pastor, when God moved us to Las Vegas, we literally came kicking and screaming like, God, why are you moving us to Las Vegas? And here's what they'd say. Now we know God moved us here in response to those prayers to bring missionaries to the city. Gosh. And if I've heard that story once, I've heard it 500 times.
Wow. Wow. One of my favorite stories about prayer in our church happened during the early season. Our early season was also a hard season. So we had this core team that was 35, 40 people. We're about to launch after engaging the city with the gospel for about 6 months. We're ready to go. And then one by one, our core team starts to get whittled down by school and jobs and families, things, just all kinds of stuff. We launched the church, launch night. We packed out our place, over 200 people. The next week, we were at 40. And we found ourselves in October of 2009, a couple months after launching, with 13 people in a worship service. At one point, when I was doing the call to worship and prayer, we had, and the band was behind me, we had more people on stage than we had in the seats. We had 40 chairs out. And in that moment, I said a silent prayer to God, and God just said, just open your mouth and speak. And what the Lord led in that moment is I had all of our people on one side move to the other side. So we had one section of 13 people in 20 seats. And I said, look over there. What do you see? And they said, empty seats. I said, we're going to pray right now that in 3 months, God will fill it up. And we prayed a couple minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes maybe. And within 3 months, God filled it up. And we did it again. Got everybody on one side and said, what do you see? Empty seats. Let's pray. God, fill it up. And we continue to pray that prayer in our small groups, and God did it again. So I would just, every time I get to a guy who's in the early season, it's really hard. I say, are you praying for God to actually bring people together? If not, begin to pray it.
Noah, there was a rally cry birthed in the early days of our church based on a story that happened in the early days of our church that I've told, I think, on this podcast before about a Filipino woman named Lady Peralta. But here was the rally cry. The rally cry said, we don't pray before we work. Mm-hmm. Prayer is the work. Then God works. We unfortunately today often think prayer is what we do before we get to the real work.
Yeah.
And what you just described with that story out of the early days of your church is the real work happened when you prayed. Yeah. When you prayed, you invited the activity of the Father to be made manifest in and through your lives. And often we simply don't invite him. He's waiting. He's at work in the world. He longs to see his kingdom expand. But when we try to do it in our own effort, he will let us. Mm-hmm. He'll let us fall on our face. But when we understand that prayer is the work, then we begin to see God do what only God can do. And that's what we really want to see happen in and through this thing of church planting.
Mm-hmm. Vance, one of your parts of your story is that, you know, your church was birthed out of prayer. You saw miraculous things happen, even the story of Lenny Peralta. But then you guys got into a flow of growth and yeah. prosperity, and then something shifted. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Success is the great enemy of dependence on God. When you begin to succeed, you begin to forget why you succeeded.
Yeah.
And I use the word succeed because I just don't know a better English word to say it. We're not about success. We're about kingdom fruit. But when you begin to see attendance, disciples made, baptisms, all the things moving up and to the right that you want to see, it's easy to begin to rest in that spiritual success and take a step back and go, whew, man, we're doing good. And when you take your foot off the gas of desperation for God, it's a scary thing. And that's really what happened in the life of our church. We got so caught up in the growth that I had to reach a place in 2015 where I fell under deep conviction from the Holy Spirit that we were really functioning in our own strength. We'd begun to run the play. And the play is not what worked. God is who worked. And we had to remind ourselves of that and get back to that place of dependence on God and creating a culture of prayer again in our corporate church services. And we talked about it on the last podcast with Daniel, but where we started carving out 8 to 10 minutes in our weekend services to lead the church to pray. And man, here's what we learned when we did that. When we seek God in prayer, we experience God in power. And when we don't, guess what? We don't. But when we begin to pray together, we saw things happen that, listen, to be quite honest, don't even fit in my theological box. We saw people healed of cancer. We saw people begin to be saved. We saw supernatural things begin to take place that can only be explained that God showed up. And it caused us to begin to measure success differently. Like, instead of how many people came Sunday, we began to ask the question, what can be explained this past weekend by simply saying this? God showed up. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying there's power in prayer. Mm-hmm. What I am saying is there's power in the one to whom we pray. The power is not in our praying. The power is in the one we're praying to. And when we seek him, he begins to move in power.
That's so good. I think the last season that we can talk about is just the normal season of church planting. Once we get past all the hard season, the growth season, the early season, we get into this rhythm. Even if we don't experience prosperity or are seeing a fruitfulness and success by, you know, worldly standards, it's that normal season. And we found ourselves in that place a little over a year and a half ago of just, hey, we got out of COVID. We had grown a little bit. We were steady. But we felt the Lord burdening us that he wants to do more in us and through us. And we we're already a praying church. And so we had a prayer team at the back every Sunday, which is something we had to overcome because of our setup in our room, we couldn't have space. Didn't have space in the front for people to pray. We had to do that in the back. But then we felt some people in our church saying, we need to do more. So they're trying to get a prayer meeting started on Wednesday mornings. And Vance, nobody would show up, you know, finally, this whole concept that Daniel Henderson talks about, it's building sidewalks where there's footpaths. We began to say, God, we know you're calling us to pray. And actually, you bringing that model to Send Network, it was huge. It was transformative. The first week that we met, your first week at Send Network, we had that meeting. We had 2 45-minute sessions of prayer before we even started our meetings. That Sunday, I came home and I led our church in corporate prayer in a new way than we'd ever done it before. We've done it every Sunday since. And I believe it is the number one transformative thing in our church in the last year plus. And I just think that every church plant getting to that place where prayer becomes the normal practice of the church. Mm.
I've said it before, but I'll say it one more time in this episode. God in his sovereignty has chosen to limit his activity to the prayers of his people. I'm not saying God needs us. God is God. God can work however he wants to. It goes with the title. What I am saying is God, within the scope of his sovereignty, has ordained prayer as the means by which he moves on this in this world. Mm-hmm. God works through the prayers of his people.
Yeah.
And he's invited us to join in what he's doing through the vehicle of prayer. Don't miss out on what he desires to do by neglecting being a praying church.
Mm. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of New Church's podcast. Man, we hope and we pray that it is beneficial for you and that your church will become a praying church.
So what we want to do today was have some follow-up questions from those things.
You know more about my life than I do right now, so it's all right.
Dr. Tony Evans is an internationally acclaimed preacher and author. Listen to his story from the very beginning, start to finish, the life and ministry of Dr. Tony Evans. Episodes drop soon. Subscribe wherever and however you listen.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.